You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome to Between the Stripes LOI Podcast Series 2, Episode 16. But it's not just any show tonight, it's of course the 1 year anniversary super show of Between the Stripes LOI Podcast. John Breyer, it's been a great year and what a lineup we have tonight.
Well, I've loved it, Kieran, from the start to a year ago. It's like it's hard to believe it was a year ago when we first got going, but yeah, it's been a fantastic year. Love the shows and long may it continue.
Yeah, a highlight so far from the past 12 months.
Oh, there's so many, Kieran, but you know me, I love our European previews and, you know, certainly with the likes of Dundalk doing so well in Europe, loved all that.
Yeah, I think it's just in this league, the great thing about it is the kindness and the time the players will give you and the managers. Simply drop them a message online, get their number, give them a text. Does this time, does this day suit? Can we have a 10-minute chat? And it's that simple. I don't think I've actually ever been refused an interview by any player in this league. It's absolutely fantastic. And we want to say thanks to all our guests who have joined us. And as I said, John, six guests tonight. If you want to let the guests, the folks at home know who our guests are tonight.
Well, we'll be talking a little bit about Bray with Craig Walsh today. So that's going to be a really interesting one. Now, we have spoken later on in the show. You'll hear interviews with Alan Corley. Yeah, and we talked a bit detail about the Bray situation there. So we were going to have a chat about it beforehand, but we'll probably go straight to Craig Walsh interview. We've also got Sam Verdon on, goal scorer for Longford Town at the weekend. The legend that is Pat Flynn. We always love talking to Pat. I can't wait for this one. We've got Dermot Keighley on the show.
Another legend there. A man that's done it all as a player and a manager. And of course, living out in Lanzarote now, running a bar out there and serving up points for the League of Ireland faithful.
It's a shame we couldn't do that interview in the bar.
Would have been fantastic.
Yeah,
but, I think you had enough last night after England's win, isn't that right?
Oh, well, yeah.
Don't say it.
It's
no.
Coming.
No, it's not.
Home.
Oh, God.
Finally, we'll get away from that and we'll talk about, we're going to talk to a new Sligo signing, Mikey Drennan. He's been out of League of Ireland football for a little while, but he's back.
Yeah, I think that's a signing that excites a lot of people. And we've spoken about Sligo on the show. The one thing they haven't done this year is excite us. So great signing from Sligo. Maybe that'll fix their goal scoring issues. But that's a fantastic lineup, I guess. We'll get through those as we go. But let's start, John, by just touching slightly on the Bray situation. As you said, we spoke about it with Alan Corley in our later interview, so we won't go too in-depth here. But 12 months on from the shambles last season, Bray are back in the same situation. Releasing Twitter statements where players are finding out that the money isn't there for them. Didn't say they're free to go. That's the crucial thing here, John. They said they're open to offers. I can't see many clubs willing to fork out money on any of them Bray players. So the Bray players are going to have to take control of the situation now, probably through the PFAI. I know the PFAI released a statement today that the players did not train yesterday because there was no physio present, and they will not train tomorrow unless money is received tonight. So it's getting worse and worse at Bray.
Yeah, what's Martin Russell doing there? Because, I mean, he's only just been appointed there. Surely he saw this coming. But do you know what? It's the same as last season. And, you know, you're playing with people's livelihoods here, Kieran. Craig Walsh, who we're going to talk to in a minute, he's just fine for them. And now he's basically free to go. And he's probably burnt his bridges with other clubs, Kieran.
Yeah, and what you said there, what's Martin Russell doing there? I'm sure Martin Russell asked when he went in, is the situation under control? We don't know what answers he was given. But I know from speaking to players at Bray that they were given guarantees when they signed that the money would be there. Just a couple of days later, the money's not there. The whole thing's in free fall. You have to wonder, are Bray going to see the season out, John?
Well, it's a circus, isn't it? And exactly the same happened last season. But, you know, I'm just looking at the people in charge here. I'm talking about, going back to last season, these stupid press releases about the likes of they'd have an academy that's going to be the best in the world and stuff. Well, how are they going to pay for that? They can't even pay for the players.
And then there was the North Korea comments as well. It's just, it's gone darker and darker and darker at Bray every couple of weeks. The entire community of Bray has washed their hands of that club. It's very similar to the situation at Loan. And the most worrying thing for me, from, I suppose, an administration perspective, is the situation at Loan has dragged on for two seasons. Are Bray going to drag this situation on for the next couple of seasons? It can't continue. Limerick have got a lot of bad press recently, but they seem to have taken control of the situation there. They've let the higher earners go, and it seems they'll see the season out with no problem, with a mixture of a few experienced players and then under 19 players probably making up Kieran, the rest of that squad.
It's simple to me. If they fail to play their players, they should be not just relegated this season, but they should be starting next season on minus 10 or minus 15. There has to be something put in place here.
Yeah.
To prevent, you know, to act as a deterrent as well.
It's got to the situation where this is happening season after season from the same clubs, and if deterrents such as point deductions aren't put in place, then we're just going to continue seeing this behaviour. But look, as I said, we'll be speaking a little bit more about Bray later on in the show. We're going to speak now to their recent signing, Craig Walsh. Okay, folks, I'm joined on the line now by a new signing at Bray Wanderers. He's played two games since coming in there in the mid-season break. Of course, returning to the League of Ireland after a spell away in the non-leagues with Inchicore and then most recently with Crumlin. It's, of course, Craig Walsh. Craig, welcome to Between the Stripes, LOI podcast.
How's it going, Kieran? You well?
So, Craig, as I mentioned, you've made the step up from the Leinster Senior League with Crumlin, probably the top junior club in the country at the moment, and you've signed for Bray Wanderers. A very disappointing defeat last night against Limerick. I think that was the game most people were looking at as Bray's chance to get themselves back in the mix of trying to stay in the Premier Division. After that result last night, most pundits would say Bray are most likely going to be playing First Division football next season. What did you make of the game last night?
It was a tough one, really. You know, we didn't really start well. The weather was, well, we wouldn't be used to playing in an island. Like, it would have been about 30 degrees. It was tough. You know, to say the least. Limerick probably come out of the blocks a bit quicker than us. We had a couple of misplaced passes. First 5-10 minutes throughout the whole team, and then they got a lucky break, and their man finished it well, the lad in the middle of the pack, Kane Coleman, and then we found ourselves back into 1-1 and we're coming down the front foot, and then it was an own goal, which was a defender went to clear it, and it hit one of their players and hit one of half players and went in. You'll probably see it on RTE Monday night, but it was a bit of a disaster. But now, first half we didn't really play well. Second half we came out, we had a bit of a goal. The chance in the first half, myself, the chance in the second half. Brendan Clark made a great save in the second half from me. It was disappointing night all around. And obviously, people are saying that we're obviously going to be relegated now on the back of that defeat, you know.
Obviously, it was a strange build-up to the game. Obviously, all the goings on at Limerick, releasing a lot of players, or mutual agreements, I should say, during the week with players there. Obviously, everyone knows the financial situation there, but there's been a lot of talk after the game about maybe a situation ongoing at Bray. Have you heard anything on that, Craig?
At the minute, there's probably one or two situations going on behind the scenes. Like, everyone knows that over the last months, and obviously last season, there was issues ongoing. At the minute, myself, I'm just going by what the coach are saying, to just come in to train, and same with the manager. I'm just going by what I'm being told, and I'm being told to come to train, and match days training, and as far as I'm concerned, you know, we're in Tuesday night to train, and we'll be looking to obviously go next week, and we'll be Sligo next Sunday, so we'll be looking obviously get Tuesday, Thursday, train Saturday, so, you know, just look to get back in and hopefully win a game of football next Sunday against Sligo, and see where it takes us from there, you know. Obviously the situation is not ideal, being bottom of the table, but I think there's possibly a couple of young lads there that might come in and might get a chance, might get a chance to shine. So now, as I said, next week we'll be looking to put the Limerick game behind us, and obviously go out and win a game of football, you know.
As I said, sorry, Craig. As I said in my intro, there, you've spent some time away in the Leinster Senior League, and I know from listening to interviews with yourself elsewhere, you've said you wanted to pick the right club and the right time to come back into the League of Ireland and give it a real go. You had the chance to rejoin your former club, Longford.
Yeah.
With everything going on at Bray, and obviously they get a lot of negative press over the last couple of seasons, was it a tough decision to make, whether you went with Bray in the Premier or maybe down to Longford?
It was more so a decision to go with Martin. Russell, look, I played under Martin, took me in when Longford let me go the last time. Martin took me in, and he, you know, had a great season at UCD. It's a couple of goals and a couple of good goals at that, and a couple of good performances in a decent UCD team, you know, with the likes of Robbie Benson and McMillan in it. So, look, Martin came in then last week, or a couple of weeks ago, and he asked me would I be interested, and, you know, obviously said, look, he thinks everything's fine behind the scenes, and he says, you know, we're seeing one or two other players from the league they're training, and I said, look, this is, this, you know, it looks like it's going to be okay. It's Premier Division football, it's a chance to get me foot back in the door. So obviously the draw of Premier Division football, and obviously to play under a manager that sort of knows me was the big thing to go into Bray, you know.
Longford did win 5-1 last night. I'm just going to throw it out there for you, Craig. But yeah, no, let's talk about.
I looked at the result, and it's good to see lads like Dylan McGlade doing well. You know, he's a good young player. You know, so it's good to see him last night. I sent him a text just saying it's a good result, well done. You know.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to mention that scoreline a few times during tonight's show, but let's talk about your time at Longford. Obviously, you signed for Shamrock Rovers off the back of your Football's Next Star appearance on Sky, where you had the chance to win a contract at Inter Milan, of course. Hard to get in the door at Rovers there, we all know, for young players, it's not the easiest thing to break into the team there.
Yeah.
You came down to Longford, in and out a couple of seasons. What did you make of your time in the Midlands?
I loved down in Longford. I think with the people, I had a good relationship, but I think the fans and a good relationship with people behind the club. Obviously, I got capped at under 19 level down there. I played in European Championships when I was a Longford Town player. I had great times down in down in Longford. I think made some great friends from it. But ultimately, it was my first real taste of senior football. And I have to say, look, I'd be grateful for Tony Cousins to give me that opportunity. To obviously play, to get into the league and play senior football. But no, I haven't got a bad word to say about Longford and the people of Longford as well. And any time I was in the town or any time we were going out to games, you know, passing the town, you'd always get hello from the locals and stuff like that. And it's a very good club, you know. I think it should be in the Premier Division. Hopefully they can get back there, because the facilities of the City Carlton Stadium are unbelievable. You know, it's a great pitch, it's a great stadium. I've actually played in it once when it was full against Man United reserves, but that was great. But it'd be great to see a few more people getting out the games and putting bums on seats. Such,
yeah, it's probably sad that the only time it is ever full is when a team like Man United's reserves come to town. And Yanezai, actually, strangely, was one of the players that played that day, and we all seen what he done against England the other night.
Mikey Keane as well,
I think Sam Johnson, the goalkeeper, as well. So, a few names in there, just on Longford, some people feel maybe the end of your time at Longford was probably when Keith Gillespie came into the club. And with all respect to Keith, I think everyone knew he was probably well past his best when he arrived, and a couple of players had to make way at the time for Keith to come into the side. Did you feel maybe hard done by it that?
Yeah, I thought I did. Obviously, I had an injury start of the season. I had an injury. The last season, I had an injury to metatarsal, and I missed a lot of games and stuff, but I worked hard to get myself back into contention. And obviously, Keith got suspended once or twice, and was obviously injured once or twice. I found myself in. I think a game down in Terryland Park comes into mind when we... the week before that I had a good game. I think we could have been against Athlone and we won, and then the week later then we went down to play in Terryland Park. I don't know if Salt Hill was playing in Terryland Park at the time, it could have been, but we went down to Terryland Park and I was left on the bench, and you know, Keith hadn't trained all that week and he came back in and started, so that was kind of what the situation I was up against there, unfortunately, you know, being a young lad and not having the experience of say, Keith Gillespie. But, I felt hard done by myself. But look, that's football, you know, you have to take it on the chin and obviously try and work hard and deal with it, you know.
Sadly, we're running out of time here, Craig. 6 guests on the show tonight, so we're trying to get as much as we can from all of you. But just, I'd love to ask you about your time in the Leinster Senior League, because it's a path we don't see too often. It's starting to become more prevalent now with younger players coming from the Leinster Senior League into the League of Ireland setup. But I suppose you were somewhat of an experienced League of Ireland player when you made the step down, obviously after your ban, and you've spoken on a number of other shows about that.
Yeah.
But as a path, do you feel it's one that we will see more maybe experienced players taking if things aren't going well for them in the League of Ireland, maybe making the step down to the Leinster Senior League, finding their feet again, finding their form as you done with an incredible goal scoring record in the non-leagues, and then making the step back into the League of Ireland?
I think as well for young players, but our players, like lads 23, 24, that might have a couple of games, League of Ireland games under their belt, and they're struggling to maybe get into first team. There's no harm in dropping down. The facilities are there, the structure's there in the Leinster Senior League. It's ran great. The games are competitive and similar to probably first division games, you know. They're probably a little bit fitter than the first division, the boys, but you know, it's not a million miles off. You know, I know you see a couple of our teams in the Leinster Senior League beating first division teams and obviously pushing family division teams close. But I could see a couple of more lads dropping down and obviously coming back up. But also, I'll put it out there, I think there should be some sort of connection between the League of Ireland clubs and the Leinster Senior League clubs, that maybe they could send a lad on loan for a couple of games, you know, to get him a couple of game time instead of leaving the young lad sitting on the bench. You know, maybe that's something the FAI could look at further on down the line. Maybe tying in with the Munster Senior League, the Ulster Senior League, and the Leinster Senior League, and the Connacht even Junior League, that maybe they could send the lad out for 10 games and then take him back. You know, instead of leaving the lad sitting on the bench, a young lad get experience, you know, so stuff like that. It is a good pathway, though, in back into the League of Ireland as well, you know, or it's for anyone that hasn't played League of Ireland, it's a good pathway into the League of Ireland, you know, to show what you can do.
Yeah, some sort of pyramid structure is something myself and John have spoken about several times on the show here over the last year, and it really is something I think Irish football needs if it's going to kick four. But look, that's a whole other argument for another day.
Yeah,
Craig, we've run out of time. Thanks very, very much for joining us, and best wishes for the rest of the season with Bray.
Thanks very much, Caelan. All the best along with Till.
Thanks very much.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
Okay, Kieran, well, there's been a fair few transfers go through, and it's great this time of season. Clubs get a chance to freshen their squads up, strengthen in places. And we're going to start off with the signings of Georgie Kelly and a return for Paddy McElhaney.
What a signing. When Cork brought in Damien Delaney, I think everyone felt that was going to be a massive turning point in the title race. But for Dundalk then to go and counteract that by bringing back, probably we spoke earlier in the season here about the one thing this Dundalk team might be lacking is a playmaker in the final third of the pitch. They've got probably the best in the business there in Paddy McElhaney. And Georgie Kelly, while I don't think he's going to play a lot this season, he's certainly one for the future. And God forbid if anything is to happen to Patrick Hooban there, he'd be a good backup to have.
He would. We know he knows his way to goal. He looks just an all-round great goal scorer,
yeah,
great striker.
Big target, man. I think everyone was saying, well, why doesn't, if anything was to happen to Hooban, surely they have Murray there, they have Tagdjumi, but they're not big hold-up players the way Kelly is. He's a big unit of a centre-forward, but he can move as well.
He's talented on the ball as well, Kieran.
He has everything. As you said, he's an all-round striker, so great investment there from Dundalk. And for me, those two signings sway them in terms of they've been the title favourites, and of course off the back of that win at Oriel at the weekend against
and John Caulfield was saying that he couldn't match them, could it, was he? I know the money, he'll be hoping that somewhere they can scrape past Leisure and start the money coming in, won't they?
But even if they don't, it's 800,000 in the bank if they don't win a game in Europe this year, so
yeah.
Cork can easily justify paying the sort of wages that Dundalk are paying, maybe not just at the same level considering Dundalk have that extra investment, but let's not be trying to pay in Cork as, you know, something they're not. They have money there to spend, and it's going to be interesting in the next couple of years whether with the extra investment Dundalk have in terms of peak six, whether Cork can keep up with the pace of Dundalk. And I suppose it's going to be the performances in Europe that will dictate that.
Absolutely. Bit of a goalkeeper merry-go-round and a bit of fallout from what's happened at Limerick there in the last week or two is that Brendan Clark has gone back to his old club of St Pat's, and they replaced him with young Jack Brady from Longford
Town.
Well,
that one hasn't been confirmed as of yet, as far as I know. I think Longford might be waiting to see if they can get a backup goalkeeper in just before they officially let Jack on his way, but he will most certainly be signing for Limerick. Jack's a superb young goalkeeper. He's been very unlucky that Mick Kelly has been in unbelievable form for Longford, and Jack is just too good of a keeper to be sitting on the bench for Longford, and that's the reason he's left. And I think everyone at Longford wishes Jack the best, and he'll certainly do well in the Premier Division, I feel. As for Brendan Clark or Pats, they've had a few issues here and there this season with goalkeeping, and Brendan Clark has been one of the top performers in the top flight this season. Great bit of business for Pats.
Yeah, they've also brought in Connor Clifford as well.
You know me, John, I'm still not sold on Connor Clifford. There was all this hype when he came back into the league with Dundalk. He for one reason or another, didn't live up to the hype. Went to Limerick, seemed to be just finding his feet again, but the financial crisis hit there and he had an injury issue there, here and there as well. So, look, Pat certainly is the style of football that will suit him. Whether he can ever reach those heights again that he was expected to, it remains to be seen.
It does. I think you know my opinion, you know, of how he's fallen down the leagues and things. Yeah. It's just he just needs to get a chance and a good run of game at a club, you know, and at least give himself the opportunity to do well.
One type of transfer you love is any transfer involving Yeovil Town, and you've picked out a couple of players that have popped up on League of Ireland team sheets in recent days.
Yeah, well, Danny Seaburn is one that signed for Derry. Now he was mostly at Exeter recently, but he's not played a lot of football recently. Derry desperately needing a good more defenders. Yeah. Danny's a centre back. He played 10 times for Yeovil before surprisingly going to Coventry. I think they were in a bit of a battle for his signature when he signed. But this lad's got great experience. Played for Southampton a lot in the Premier League.
And what did you make of his performances for Yeovil? Do you feel he'll slot into the League of Ireland quite comfortably?
He seemed very solid. Good, solid centre-back. And I was very surprised when he left. But I think it might have been a case, even though Coventry were a league below, you know, obviously the stature of the clubs, they were a bigger club. Little bit surprised that he ended up back at Exeter. But you know, if he's fit, he's still only in his early 30s, so he could well be a good signing for Derry. And boy, do they need
so a
some
bit
difference.
Of experience there for Derry.
Yeah, they desperately need shoring up at the back.
Desperately. And Sligo have signed an international player.
Yeah, now this is promising Canadian winger Chris Twardek, I believe you pronounce it. He was at Millwall and Canada under 20 captain, I believe, Kieran.
Right. So, I don't know a lot about him, John, in all honesty. So
yeah, very, very promising winger. They could have a gem there, could Sligo. So I know that I've seen a few Millwall fans that were very sad to see him go.
One thing we've criticised Sligo though on this show this season has been the fact that they're not signing players that have proven it and done it in the League of Ireland, and that these players coming in from abroad just don't seem to be settling. And one of them has left the club, and Ali Roy was one we thought that would do well, but hasn't lived up to the hype there. So again, it just remains to be seen how he's going to settle into Irish football.
Yeah, because there was big hopes about the Brazilian they signed as well. But
he's gone as well. So it's just if they settle or not, it's really the big thing, and we'll have to see if that winger can do the job for Sligo. Because as we said, they haven't been exciting to watch this season. So a pacey winger could liven things up there.
Yeah, and a surprise with Sligo that Craig Morehouse left Sligo to join Shelburne.
Great signing for Shells. I know not the best goals record with Sligo in recent years, but a player that has experience in Scotland. Davy O'Sullivan playing the main role for Shelburne, but hasn't scored in the last couple of weeks, but other players like James English chipping in there, which is great to see. And they just have another option now in Morehouse, and he's a player that I would have actually liked to see Longford go for, perhaps.
Yeah, good player there. I was a little bit surprised that Sligo let him go. But
I'm surprised he's dropped down to the first division, in all honesty. But I suppose Shells are in the title hunt, so if
Shells are very much in the title
hunt. Very much, this is just another bit of spark in their attack now. So a very good signing for Moan Heary.
Now we're gonna talk about an Angolan international, Kieran, who signed for Waterford. Waterford seem to have they're dealing with certain agents and things, but seem to be pulling in these signings, and they've gone and signed Angolan international Carlos Wilson. Do you know much about him, Kieran?
No, nothing about him either.
Right, okay. So I think it's a wait and see with him, but certainly he's played 8 times for Angola, so he's obviously no mug. So we'll see how he gets on there.
They either have great scouting networks or they're just banging these names into YouTube.
Yeah, one big signing that I haven't mentioned for them. They've re-signed Courtney Doofus, so extended his loan deal.
Huge, absolutely huge, and great to see, because he's been one of the standout performers in the League of Ireland. And when people are paying their money they want to see players playing good football and in good form and scoring goals, and he's certainly fallen into that bracket this season.
So we'll move on, and we're going to go through the Premier Division results at the weekend and review those matches. And there was a massive game at the top of the league, Dundalk beating Cork 2-1.
Yeah, this is the only place to start in our results roundup. Dundalk on top now by 2 points after defeating Cork with almost the last kick of the game. It was an own goal, Patrick Hooban putting pressure on at the near post, forcing the Cork defender to put the ball into his own net. But again, I felt that this was a game between the two sides that lacked in quality.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a disappointing game, to be honest, Kieran.
But did we expect any less?
Well, it's always going to be tight and attritional. They're always very close.
They're exciting in a way. Yeah. I know the last couple of cup finals have been absolutely horrible to watch, and I think everyone is hoping they don't meet in the cup final again this year. But as you said, that rivalry and that atmosphere of the games does make it, you can still watch it even if the football isn't the best, and this was one of those games.
Yeah, the Duffy flashed a shot wide early on. He's been in very good form, Kieran. And at the other end, McNamee, he shot the goalkeeper and then he should have scored. He scuffed a shot straight at Gary Rogers. So there was a chance for Cork to go in front. But lovely goal to open the scoring in the second half. Duffy slid in a Dorjan who scored. He put it in the only place he could at the far post. Yeah, it was a lovely finish. Goalkeeper.
Very clever finish. Made a lovely run. Nobody picked him up in behind Conor McCormack. I know that was highlighted on Soccer Republic that McCormack didn't pick up the runner, and he certainly hasn't performed well in the games against Dundalk this year. Still no word, as far as I know, on Adorjan whether he's going to be staying beyond this summer period. But certainly Dundalk would love to keep him, and the noises coming out of Ariel is that the player himself would like to stay. He's really stepped up his performances in the last couple of months and looks to be a very, very talented player.
The equaliser came from an unlikely source, as far as I'm concerned. It was Josh O'Hanlon. He was left unmarked, and he couldn't miss to make it 1-1.
I think anyone that listens to this show knows we're not fans of Josh after his time in Longford, but I have to hold my hands up and say he took that brilliantly. It was a great headed finish.
Yeah, and he seems to be settling in now a bit. He's scoring the odd goal here there for Cork, but you still wonder about Cork's strength in depth.
It was interesting though that Cummins was the one taken off. It wasn't a fact of O'Hanlon going on and playing up alongside him. He came in and replaced the main man and he got a goal. So does that put pressure on Cummins in the coming games? We'll have to wait and see.
Shepherd had a great chance to make it 2-1, but his first touch just took him to a bad angle, Kieran, to shoot. And
that's where, as Adorjan hit the ball across the goalkeeper, Shepherd went for the near post.
Yeah.
Great save from Rogers. But
yeah, he got a fingertip, didn't he?
Yeah, if he hits that across the goal, I have a good feeling he scores.
Yeah, the winner came from a cross from Shields, and Pat Oban pressurised Sean McLaughlin, who ended up putting into his own net, unfortunately. And that's how it finished 2-1 to Dundalk.
Yeah, wild scenes at Oriel Park. They're on top of the table. More boosts this week with the two signings we've already mentioned, so I think everyone is making Dundalk title favourites at this moment in time. But we'll move on to the other end of the table. It was a huge relegation 6-pointer. Limerick coming out on top 2-1 against Bray Wanderers.
Yeah, battle of two crisis clubs here, Kieran. And as you say, Limerick beating Bray here 3-1. Keane Coleman opened the score, and after I suppose an early warning for Bray when Moran saved from a header.
Keane Coleman is one I'm surprised there maybe hasn't been interest in, given the crisis at Limerick. He's been superb since stepping up from the First Division.
Yeah, he's doing well so far, isn't he? And another man that's caught the eye, Ron Coughlin, he equalised as Brendan Clark had already set off to Inchicore. He was in no man's land, wasn't he? And Coughlin lobbed him beautifully to make it 1-1.
Brilliant.
Yeah, Maguire scored after good work from Conor Ellis down the wing to make it 2-1. Danny Morrissey could have made it 3-1, but he shot straight at the goalkeeper. Look, Bray going to be relegated, yeah. Kieran. Rubbish results and the usual pay nonsense.
I know we've spoken about Martin Russell, maybe it's probably a poor decision in hindsight taking that job, but for me, he wasn't the right man to start with. I know there was a few comments when he took it that maybe Bray were already looking to next season, but they were so open in this game, John. Limerick could have got more than the two goals they got. So for me, poor result for Bray, as you said. I think they're going to be relegated now, most definitely, but I'm not sure even going forward what the situation will be at Bray.
No, it's very difficult to know, but look, we can talk about that later in the show. Shamrock Rovers, this was a big match here for the Europa League place, as they were hosting Derry City, and
they were comfortable winners in the end.
Well, they were, and it was the usual. I'm going to report on the usual Derry calamities at the back, and things aren't improving. They'll be hoping Ryan Seaman shores things up, but Ronan Finn had a chance early on, but he had a tough angle and the keeper saved from it. And young Brendan Kavanagh saw keeper save his effort, but some terrible Derry defending allowed Dan Carr and a very easy finish to make it 1-0. Second half, Fisk had a chance to equalise, Bazuno saving well, but the second came in from more shambolic defending, and Joel Coustrain took an advantage to make it 2.
Yeah, and Coustrain has impressed me for this season for Rovers. Look, Alan Cawley came out and he slated Derry after this performance, rightfully so, far too easy. They've taken some big beatings in games this season. They're just too open at the back. They're too naive. They throw everything forward, leave themselves totally open at the back. They're getting punished. And as you said, hopefully this new signing now, a bit of experience at the back, can just shore things up, because Derry could soon find themselves sliding down that table quite quickly.
Yeah. An action-packed first half at the Showgrounds, where Sligo were beaten 3-2 by Waterford. All the goals came in the first half. Stanley Aburra with a lovely free kick to open the scoring.
Fantastic.
And then we saw the strength of Akinadi up front with getting a good flick onto John Martin to make it 2-0. But Sligo didn't give up and they came right back into the match with Adam Wickstead pulling one back to make it 2-1. And then equaliser from Seamus Sharkey, who we've criticised before in the other box.
Yeah.
But he equalised from a corner to make it 2-2. But it was Bastian Heary that scored the winner. This was still in the first half, Kieran, with a nice drive to make it 3-2.
You don't give Bastian Heary that much space on the edge of the box, though. And it came again from a flick on or knockdown by Akinadi, who was in that almost unplayable form again at the weekend. He just bullied the Sligo back four. And he's been fantastic, especially in the absence of Doofus, who now will return in the coming days.
He's such physically big unit, yeah. You know, you can see the power he's got and the size and strength of him.
It must be very difficult for a defender to try and defend against that. I mean, if you get too tight, his strength is just going to roll you. If you stand off too much, he's going to take the ball down and he's going to probably ping it into the top corner. So it's a tough one, and Sligo were punished, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think he just needs to work on his finishing a little. He had the best chance of the second half, but he headed wide. You know, sometimes he can be very creative, knockdowns and things, but I think he needs to improve his goal ratio.
Moving on, Bohemians 1-0 winners at Dalymount Park against St. Pat's. Slightly surprising result for you, John?
Well, I think Pat's must feel like they had the pockets picked at that one, because they were the dominator this one. And I think it was, if you're playing Football Manager, you'd be reloading this and saying the game's fixed, because Pat's dominated it. And Ryan Brennan spurned a chance wide.
Bad miss.
Yeah. Jamie Lennon, player we like, young player.
Previous guest on the
show. Yeah, exactly. He forced a great save from Supple, and he also saved from Conan Byrne. And it was generally a mix of good goalkeeping for Supple and last gasp defending that kept Bowes in this one. But when the winner came from Bowes, well, what a goal. An absolute thunder of a strike. Yeah. I can't read what I wrote down there. But
it was Kevin Devaney with the goal anyway, folks. And for me, what was almost as nice as the goal itself, the two touches to set himself up, I thought were superb. And that goal would grace any World Cup game.
Oh, it's a fantastic goal. And he made it 1-0. Dylan Watts had a chance to make it 2-0. But, you know, an unbelievable 1-0. Win against the run of play, they'll be delighted with both.
Dylan Watts, it looks like, from media reports today, on his way to Dundalk, another huge signing there.
Yeah, I wouldn't have that confirmed yet, Kieran, because I think there's quite a few teams in for him from various leagues.
But judging by reports today, Dundalk are certainly in the driving seat.
Yes, so, I think so. I know Bowes would dearly love to sign him, but I think once Dundalk come in, they'll blow Bowes out the water with that one.
Look, one man in the know on all things League of Analysts, of course, Soccer Republic analysis, Alan Cawley, and he joins us on the show now. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're joined on the line now from Soccer Republic. It's, of course, our good friend of the show here, Alan Cawley. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Kieran. How are you? How are you, John?
Very good, thanks, Alan.
So, Alan, you've been making the headlines again this week. You've upset a few Derry City fans. You branded their team a disgrace, or more their effort a disgrace, in their recent league outing. Maybe you could expand on those comments for us.
Was it making headlines?
Tell you what,
you are now. Longford leader, front page.
Long gone. And the fans, upset the fans, all the fans agreed with me.
No, the fans were agreeing, I've seen that, yeah.
In total agreement. I know, yeah, obviously the comments that I made, people may seem to be a bit harsh, but I fully stand over them, Kieran. I was at the match last week, and I've seen Derry quite a few times this year. And as I say, I fully stand over the comments, and I'm not the type to go overboard. I'd be fairly balanced, but if I feel something is justified, I have no problem saying it. And the fact that it's the third worst defensive record in the league speaks volumes. We've conceded 43 goals, whereas Limerick have conceded 44. So that tells you nearly explains my point straight away. You look at the last 9 games, they've won 2, they've lost 7. They've conceded 28 goals in those games, averaging a concession of 3 goals a game. So I think the stats back up exactly my point. And the problem that I have with Derry, I like them going forward, and obviously I like Kenny Shields. I praised him a lot last year in the job that he was doing in obviously difficult circumstances. And I do like the football and philosophy, but there has to be a balance somewhere, Kieran. And to me, I look at Derry, and every time I watch them, they're far too easy to play against and far too easy to get it. That. And they're good going forward, and they've some obviously very defensively, they're so open.
Okay, so Alan, having watched a lot of Derry this season, you know, you're talking about the defence, but there seems to be individual mistakes almost every week. Why are they so bad at the back at the moment?
Yeah, well, that, I think that goes back to the point that what I'm making, John, that to me, Kenny is all about the lovely football, and that's fine to an extent, and I'm all for the lovely football, but you have to have some sort of balance and some sort of defensive structure as well. And I never get that impression, or I never get the impression that they work on teams defensively, and they're always so open to play against, and that's the issue for them, and that's why they've conceded 43 goals. It speaks volumes. I think it's their worst concession rate up as far as this amount of games in a season, 24, since 2003. So, like, all the stats are telling you exactly the problems and what they are. Now, fair enough, they've lost Curtis last week and they've lost McInniff, two very good players, so I understand that. But the club that Derry City are and the size they are and the pick of players that they have from the North West region, I still don't... Obviously, they're doing okay in the league, but I still think they should be doing a bit better, and they certainly shouldn't concede 43 goals.
And in terms of Europe, Alan, obviously we've seen them getting trounced last season, obviously by very quality opposition, but the problem went back again to being far too open at the back. They're going to have a very, very tough task on their hands this time around again with the side from Minsk. Do they stand any hope?
I don't give them any hope, to be honest with you, Kieran, and purely for the reasons, as I just outlined about them defensively. I think Kenny will actually go over there and try and take Minsk on, which if he does, he obviously hasn't learned his lessons from last year, as you say, when they got trounced in Europe because they were so wide open. He has to go over there and give themselves a chance. And obviously, if that means playing five at the back, I used to go away with Shelburne, Pat Fennellan would always play five in midfield and play one up front, and that would mean Jason Byrne might have to drop into right midfield as one of the five. But it was to get a result, it was for the good of the team, it was for the good of the tie. And sometimes you have to sacrifice players, or you have to sacrifice the way you play or your philosophy sometimes to get a result. And I never see that with Derry. Kenny only thinks one way in my eyes, and it's costing them big style at the moment, because you look at, as I said, the last nine games, they've lost seven and only won two, and I don't think that's good enough for Derry. I always believe Derry are a massive team, massive club, and I think they should be pushing the likes of Waterford for third place. Now, I know they're in and around them, but their recent form has been desperate.
Yeah, and I think Minsk will really, really show that up. Any kind of defensive frailties, and an organised team like that will... I give them no hope, I'm afraid, Alan.
I'm
really worried. In fact, it's not just Derry I'm worried for in Europe. It's all the clubs, really, apart from maybe Dundalk. But
yeah, maybe we might just get your thoughts on that, Alan. The European draw, what's your feelings on it?
I would agree with John. Dundalk are the only ones I feel that have a serious chance of going through, and I'd be very disappointed if they didn't. I think they'll beat that Estonian team, Levadia Tallinn, and you only have to look at the signings that Dundalk have made this week, and they're already talking about, I think today, Dylan Watts may be signing as well. So the strength and depth that they have, and the quality, it's not just the numbers, but they have serious quality now as part of the squad. So I would fancy them to go through. As I said, Derry, I think, will struggle. I think Shamrock Rovers will find it difficult as well. And Cork City obviously have a very difficult tie against Legia Warsaw. You only have to look at the resources what Legia Warsaw have and know how difficult it is. And we've seen Dundalk run them close. And I don't think they're unbeatable, but I just think the way Derry play, particularly in Europe, that might catch them out, because I do think you need to have some sort of emphasis on keeping the ball. And I'm not sure that they have that, Cork City. They'll be okay defensively because they'll be well organised and well structured. And I could even see them maybe getting a point at Turner's Cross because it's a little tight, narrow pitch. But when they go away from home, a big wide open pitch in Legia Warsaw, you have to keep the ball, and I think they could struggle.
Tell you what, Alan, it's fair to say the draw did the Irish clubs no favours this time.
Yeah, and that's just the way the cookie crumbles at times, John, you know, with the seeding and all that involved as well. And we were just speaking off air about England and the World Cup, and they look at the draw that they have, and that's part and parcel of football as well, so you just have to deal with it.
Yeah, I suppose the only silver lining is the fact that if Cork are to go out to Legia, they will have a buy into the third round of the Europa League.
Yeah, and that's a huge positive for them as well, because I think the big thing for the clubs now as well, Kieran, obviously they all want to have some sort of success, and you want to get through a round or two, but the money that's on offer is unbelievable now.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so imperative when I'm even speaking about the likes of Derry domestically in the league and all. Like, you have to be in those qualifying positions, the top three, top four, getting into Europe every year if you ever want to grow the club and get bigger, especially with the money. The incentives that are there for clubs getting into Europe now is unbelievable.
Let's move on and speak about something else in the financial sense. The situation of Bray has taken a dark, dark turn in the last couple of days. PFAI have released a statement just a couple of moments before we went on the air here. The Bray Wanderers players did not train yesterday as they were still unpaid and there was no physio present. And if they're not paid by this evening, Wednesday, they will not train tomorrow. So, Alan, what's your take on the situation there?
Yeah, this disappoints me, saddens me, frustrates the life out of me, because we all want the league to progress, Kieran. We all love the league. And stories like this, like we all have the success of Dundalk and Cork and the great rivalry that they've created and the success they've had in Europe, and you think that the league is on a sound footing and going places for once. And then these stories, we had Limerick a couple of weeks ago, Bray now, it just drags the whole thing down and makes a mockery of it. And sometimes you wouldn't mind if it might have been a one-off or a club got into financial difficulty. But this is the third or fourth time we've seen this in the last how many, 2 or 3 years. And as I say, I spent 2 years out in Bray. I have a little bit of a soft spot for him. 2 great years, and people were great to me out there. It was a great little family-run club and close-knit kind of a club. Everybody felt part of it. But I look at it now, and even when I go out to watch games, there's such a disconnect with the local community.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. They've alienated everybody out there. And now, obviously, the players. And I looked at Twitter last night, and I seen the statement that they released. And the worst thing about it all was when the player, Sean Heaney, tweeted back that you could have informed your players before this. It just looked so amateurish and such a shambles that I'm like everybody looking in from the outside. It's just so disappointing and so frustrating.
Well, I'm just going to go back to this press release that they did last year about this stage, about this fantastic academy that we're going to have to rival the world's best. You know, it's just cloud cuckoo land over there, isn't it? And it's just ridiculous. You've got to ask questions about how on earth this is being allowed to happen again.
Well, that's the question, John. Again, is the point how it's allowed to happen year after year. And I know the licensing is in place, and I was listening to Frank Gavin recently and going through about how they actually grant the licences to the different clubs and all the kind of paperwork you have to go through and the different rigmarole to get it. And I know it's an arduous kind of experience for people and clubs to have to go through, because there's a lot of paperwork involved. But the financial side of things, and I know you can't ever put it in a situation where you can say, we'll show us 300 grand in the bank and that you can guarantee the wages. But there has to be some sort of a better structure in place as part of the licensing that doesn't allow this happen. Because as we said, it's happened 2 or 3 years now, and it's really unacceptable at this stage. And I would go as far as saying, now at this stage, throw them out, just get rid of them. If they're not able to keep up to the standards that all the other clubs are meeting and setting, throw them out and get rid of them.
Well, my next question was going to be, Alan, do you feel maybe point deductions would be the right statement from the FAI to put down if clubs knew at the start of the season, if they were not able to pay their wages, they're going to be deducted points, and ultimately that's going to relegate them from the top flight. Would that be a way of deterring this type of behaviour? But feel stronger than that.
I would, because it's not the first time.
Mm.
This is the third or fourth time, so that's why I'm sick of it now at this stage, as is everybody else. And I don't know if the point deduction thing will work, because in the end, as you say, they'll probably lose 10 points, whatever club it might be. You'll end up getting relegated and they're gone that way. But I would go so far as saying, if it's as bad as this, like I'm only talking about this case at the moment, I wouldn't say it for a team, obviously, for everyone, just throw them out. But the Bray situation has got to a point now where it just can't go on any longer, like this year after year, that they're releasing these silly statements and they can't pay the players. It's just gone beyond a joke at this stage.
I think the fact that the situation in that loan is still going on 2 seasons on, I think it's probably very unlikely we're going to see anything like that happen. It just seems that these issues just drag on and on at clubs, and that's probably down to the fact that there's no clubs to replace them, unfortunately, Alan. It's not an attractive prospect to join the League of Ireland.
No, and I think what probably will suit the FAI at the moment, the position Bray are in, because they will be relegated, and that might suit them, because then they'll be down to the first division. But I don't think that's a solution or an answer either, to kind of just brush them aside and brush them under the carpet and think, oh, that's grand, they're out of the way now. Because how do the first division teams feel? How do Galway United feel after getting relegated last year and they're seeing to carry on with Bray now? Like, you know, so if they're carrying out their business properly and doing their due diligence, as I presume they are, why should they suffer as they have done and getting relegated, and then you have 3-4 months down the line Bray in this situation? So I don't think it's fair just to say, and I think that's how they will view it, the FAI. They will kind of brush this under the carpet and think they'll be relegated in a couple of months and that'll be the end of them. But that's wrong.
It is wrong. And in England, we've seen it many a time, even the likes of Leeds, you know, they started the season after minus 15 points. And I think that's where Bray should be, relegate this season and start in next season with a points deduction.
Yeah, I don't know how they'll ever grow from that, John, but...
Obviously, there's been a couple of huge signings at Dundalk in recent days, and after that win against Cork, do you now make them the title favourites?
Yeah, absolutely, Kieran. You know, you look at the quality they possess. I think it's 9 wins on the bounce. they've scored 30 goals in those 9 wins and they've only conceded 5. So it's unbelievable form. It really is. Relentless form. And in fairness to Cork, they were in great form before last week too. They had won 7 out of 8 on the bounce. So they were in fantastic form. And I think the rivalry is great between the two. And I know Cork had a bit of stick about the football that they play at times. But when you're winning that amount of matches that they have done as well, you deserve massive amounts of credit, no matter what league you're playing in. And they go on similar runs as Dundalk. But I just think Dundalk have the edge on them. And it will probably come down to these head-to-heads, because I can see Dundalk going another 5 or 6 weeks unbeaten, and I can see Cork bouncing back and going for another 4 or 5 weeks winning as well. But so far, these head-to-heads have proved pivotal. And you look, as you said, the signings that they've made as well. Not only are they making statements on the pitch, but they're making them off the pitch with their signings too. And long-term contracts as well. So the sky's the limit for Dundalk at the moment. And it's great to see, because you look at Stephen Kenny and the job that he's done there, and he keeps losing players year after year, the best of players as well, not just like any old players. We're talking about some of the best players that have ever played in this league, and he's still able to maintain the standards and keep them up there and keep them at the top of the table and keep kind of churning out another one or two players and keeping that side together. It's fantastic the job he's done, and best of luck to him. And I do fancy them to go on and win the league now.
Well, Alan, you've been as insightful as ever. And before we go, I'm going to make you a very happy man. For any of our listeners that tuned into Alan on this show earlier in the season, you might remember that myself and Alan had different views on Bohemians' league position this season. I felt the Bulls could match their exploits of last season. Alan completely dismissed that view. I wanted to put a bet on it, but then I bottled it at the last moment, as you remember, John. But
yep.
Alan has been absolutely spot on. I can't see Bowes making up the 9 points now to get in that top half. So, Alan, what we're going to do, if you would like to name a charity there, we're going to donate €50 to that charity of choice.
Well, I double it as well. So there, it's not that it's much, but
fantastic.
It's the thought that counts, and it was a good bit of crack. And you should always listen to me, young Ciarán.
We'll leave you on Soccer Republic for another few years.
No problem, lads. Pleasure talking to you as always, and best of luck to the show. It's going great guns for you, so good luck.
Thanks very much, Alan. So just send on the information for whatever charity you want to select, and we'll sort that out online.
Give it to the Bray Wanderers Fund.
Oh, God, jeez. Here we go. Alan, that's where we'll leave it. Thanks very much for joining us as ever, and best wishes with everything you're doing at the moment.
Pleasure, lads. Thanks a million.
Cheers, Alan.
Thanks, Alan.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
So fantastic to hear from Alan Calway as always, and as we said, that's €100 now we're going to raise for Alan's charity of choice, whatever it may be. Brings the total to almost €400 that Between the Stripes has raised for charity since we set out in 2016. So I think that's a great way to mark our 1 year anniversary. We'll move along now, folks, to give you the first division roundup from the weekend, and we have to say we're really enjoying the comments from listeners to the show in regards to our first division coverage. I'm an avid listener of most or nearly all of the League of Ireland podcasts. It's one thing that is lacking is it's quality first division coverage. So we do really appreciate the support and the feedback and the comments we're getting. And if you'd like to leave a comment during on the show, anything at all, or someone you might like to see on next week's show, simply use the hashtag Between the Stripes and we'll pick up on it and get back to you on that. But let's go to Galway, John, where Galway were beaten 2-1 by Shelburne.
Yeah, firstly, isn't it such a shame that Soccer Republic do things so well but they don't cover the First Division?
Yeah.
You know, I just wish they'd... even the goals would be great to see. So, but look, that's for another day.
Yeah.
Galway won 2, Shells 2, so even the promise of Saudi investment couldn't save Galway in this one. And the poor form continues. Shells, on the other hand, absolutely flying. Goals from Adam Evans, penalty from James English, keep them well in touch with the leaders, and only a consolation last minute for Galway from Owen McCormack.
Yeah, and the news out of Galway yesterday, Alan Murphy, their all-time leading goal scorer, has been appointed manager. John, thoughts on that?
Very surprised, actually.
I'm surprised myself, especially with all the talk about Jim McGuinness, although I never thought that was going to happen, in all honesty. I think that might have been more of a bit of a publicity spin.
Did you not think with foreign investment, all that thing, I thought they were going to get a more proven manager?
The foreign investment hasn't gone through. That's the big misconception out there at the moment. Just because the supporters voted yes to allow it to go through, there's still a process taking place there, due diligence, etc. It could be a while before that goes through.
He may only have a contract to the end of the season, then.
I'd most likely say that's the case. And for me, I think with the appointment, it might even be a bit of a cost-saving measure. Shane Keegan, their did spend quite a bit this season in the hope that they were going to win the first division or at least get promotion. Hasn't gone to plan. Attendance is starting to fall with the results there. So I think Galway now are just going to try and steady the ship till the end of the season, get themselves in order, hope this investment comes, and then give it a right good go next year.
They are slipping back, Kieran. That's it's a very disappointing season for them, I have to say. But look, we'll move on. Drogheda were 2-1 winners against Improving Cove. Kieran Kelly, Luke Gallagher for Drogheda. Cove with Anthony McLovey with a penalty. Cove improved, but just not enough to see
us. Yeah, this one was tight for a long, long time. I know a lot of the Longford fans at the UCD game were constantly checking the score in this one because it would have been a big one if Drogheda could have slipped up points while Longford were getting that big win over UCD. But the Drogs, just as we've said, time after time, a great spread of goals across the squad. Kieran Kelly, who got the equaliser against Longford earlier in the season, he's chipped in with 4 or 5 now from the left-back position. And as you said, Luke Gallagher there with another one. So I think if Drogs can even add a player or two, they have a great chance of winning the title. It's a very exciting first division, as we said, week after week.
Very exciting. Cabo went down at home to Harps, and that was a little bit of a surprise for me. I know I tipped Cabo because they seem to be... They're strong at homes against teams near the top. They seem to have the knack of beating them.
It's an interesting one because, as you said, Cabo have really, they've thrown spanners in the works against a lot of the so-called big sides in this division. Longford been one that fell foul there recently, and a lot of that has to do with the playing surface. It's bumpy. It's a big open space. The ball's going out. A lot of time wasting going on. Whereas Harps, we've criticised them on this show and many people have for their cynical style of play, but maybe they went up to Cabin Tealy, they weren't fazed by the conditions and they've scraped out a 1-0 win, so maybe it's not that surprising.
Keith Cowan with the goals there for Harps. Athlone 0, Wexford 1. Athlone continuing to be unable to score and still shipping goals, although they'll be delighted that they didn't ship 4 for a change.
They're just 2 games away now from equaling the record held by Kilkenny City. I think it was a 92 season, I could be correct in saying, where they didn't win a single game. I think it was I'm not sure what the run of games was, but Athlone now only 2 games away from equaling that record, and I don't think Athlone will get a win before the season is out.
No, but don't forget, though, everything's fine according to the powers that be at Athlone, and there's nothing to see.
Did you see that statement they released in their match programme?
I certainly did, Kieran.
Wow is all you can say to that. But just on this result, there's a bit of confusion going on. I'm not sure if you've seen articles on the likes of extratime.ie about the possibility that a suspended player may have played in this game for Wexford.
Okay.
So whether Wexford fell foul of that themselves last season playing an ineligible goalkeeper and had a fixture taken away from them. So whether something's going to happen in that regard, but in terms of on the field, playing football, I can't see Athlone winning again this year.
So Athlone could get a win on a technicality then?
Possibly, but we'll have to see what comes of that.
Final match, Kieran, you were at it. What a result. This absolutely opens the title chase up, as well as Georgie Kelly's departure. UCD won, Longford Town 5. In your wildest dreams, Kieran?
No, never. Longford, early lead. Daniel Riley squeezing in one from an impossible angle.
It wasn't a classic, that goal, from what I saw the video highlights.
Longford probably did deserve to take the lead. They'd started the game well. But after that, UCD came back in the fashion and the style that they have all season. And when they got the equaliser, I thought they were going to go on and win it. But Dylan McGlay gets one just before half time, and after that, Longford go into overdrive. Towards the end of the game, UCD's back four goes into capitulation. Sam Burden tops it off at the end by dispossessing a UCD defender on the edge of his own box, slotting it in to make it 5, and with that, Longford send a huge message of intent to the entire First Division.
Shane Elworthy with a great goal as well. Long distance lobbed goal.
Yeah, and he was absolutely superb defensively on the night, and for Longford, he's probably one of the first names on the team sheet every week now. And I think we owe Neil Fenn a huge apology in terms of 2 players.
Yep.
Early on in the season, we criticised Shane Elworthy heavily on this show. He has improved untold amounts.
Do you know what, Kieran? I'm going to say it now. He's my player of the season for Longford Town.
There's probably been players in attacking positions that would disagree. And obviously, Ed Irvine, a man who signed a new contract today, has caught the eye. But
he's done nothing wrong, Kieran.
He's been absolutely fantastic in that right-back position. And if he keeps up them performances, other clubs may come looking.
And Dylan McGlade, I seem to remember you talking to Neil Fenn about it.
I think I might have had a few when I was speaking to him. But yeah, we certainly thought it was a strange signing, shall we say, considering he didn't do well here the last time. But if ever there's a manager to mould a player and improve a player, it's Neil Fenn. And Dylan McGlade looks a totally different player to the one
who's... Electricity League Player of the Month.
Player of the Week.
Player of the Week, sorry, yes. Yeah,
he should be in the running for it because he's on 7 goals now.
And playing amazing. He's a completely different player to when he was first with Longford. Yeah,
and that's the good thing about this Longford team now. Just like Drogheda, the goals are starting to spread across the team since Chris Mulhall has gone out with the team and Verdon's played up front with Chambers running off him. Mm. There's been a huge improvement in performances and results. So maybe we got one right with our criticism of Mulhall.
Well, you're going to have a great chance to talk about Longford Town now, Kieran, because earlier you spoke to Sam Verdon.
Yeah, this is our interview with Sam Verdon, folks, so enjoy. So it was a huge win for Longford Town at the weekend, stunning the students, the league leaders UCD, by 5-1 at the UCD Bowl. And one of the goal scorers on the night, Sam Verdon, joins us on the line now. Sam, welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Hey lads, thanks for having me on.
So Sam, quite an incredible result. I think everyone was expecting a tight game going into a given UCD's home form this season. They were undefeated, but Longford are the first side to claim a win at the UCD Bowl this season. You must be absolutely thrilled with the performance and the result.
Yeah, Kieran, it's a great result for us. Obviously, previous to the break, we had a couple of really good results against the teams around us, and then the break could have probably came at the wrong time for us because we were building a bit of momentum, so it was really important for us to carry it on after the break against UCD. So, it's a great result, good performance, and look, we can't get carried away with it either. We've a massive game now Saturday, so we need to keep taking every game as it comes and taking each game in its merits and getting 3 points. Is the most important thing. But yeah, like you said, great performance, great win, and we're really happy with it.
I suppose after a result like that, the fear always can be complacency, but is the fact that Cove Ramblers gave Longford 2 tough games this season already and probably stole 2 points from Longford on the opening night of the season when Longford threw away a 2-0 lead late on, does that give the players that extra bit of focus going into this one at City Colin Stadium on Saturday?
Yeah, well, we know Cove, they're a really difficult team to play against, and Their league position probably isn't the full story of how they've been playing. They're a really tough team to play against, and last season they finished second, so this season obviously hasn't been the same for them, but we know they're a good team, they're good players, and obviously they'll be really tough to play against. So Saturday I think it's just important that we put in a good performance, and if we put in a good performance, then I'm confident that we can get 3 points.
Yeah, and they've had some good preparation during the week with a friendly against Aberdeen there, and Chris Forrester was actually the match winner, just a 1-0 win out at 4. So I suppose that shows how resilient this Cove side are, that they can be quite defensive, but certainly very dangerous on the break, as Longford found out last season.
Yeah, no, they are very good. Stephen Hansen has set up really, really well, and they're really difficult to break down. But then, like you're saying, the first game of the season, we were 2-0 and we got a bit probably complacent, and they scored 2, so they are capable of defending well, but they're also capable of scoring goals at the other end, which we'll have to be on our toes with.
I spoke to your manager Neil Fenn after the game on Friday for the club website and for local radio as well. He's now declared that the title he believes is on for Longford, although he did say that this group of players felt it's been on all season and the result against UCD didn't change that. But has talk of it in the dressing room started to appear?
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone ever thought it was off, to be honest with you. I think everyone always believed that we always had to play UCD twice more after they beat us in the first game, in the first round fixture. So, but we always believed that it was still on, and we still, after Friday, obviously think it's on even more now. But like I said, we're not getting carried away with it. We're just taking each game as it comes. We've 9 more kind of, I suppose, cup finals, if you want to call them, that we need to win. And Saturday is our biggest one so far. So, 3 points is a must, and the league title for us, it's what we set out for at the start of the season. Anything else will be a disappointment. So yeah, that's what we want, and hopefully that's what we get at the end of the season.
Your own form personally this season, Sam, 7 goals already. You got 3 after coming in the mid-season break last year. So apart from the obvious answer to this is that you're playing higher up, you're playing in a striking position the last couple of weeks, but apart from that, is there any reason why you're starting to chip in with more goals? Is it something you've worked on strongly?
Yeah, well, I was kind of, even at previous clubs, I always liked to get forward and get into the box, and I always found that it was one of my strengths was actually scoring goals. So it's just about being in the right place kind of at the right time, and I back myself if I'm in front of the goal that I will score, and obviously in the last couple of weeks I've been in a good bit of form. But it's something that I've always kind of wanted to have in my game was goals, and luckily enough in the last couple of weeks that there's been a couple there for me.
And how have you found playing in the striking role in the last couple of weeks? Obviously with the height and strength that you possess, you're a bit of a target man for Longford, but obviously there's a lot more to your game than that as well. So is it a position maybe you could see yourself playing in long term going forward?
Yeah, well, look, that's up in the air to decide. But yeah, we played as under 19 level for Pats for half a season and I've done quite well. So it's not completely foreign to me, but it's a completely different game, which I back the goal constantly, than I would be used to in midfield. But hopefully maybe a couple more games there and I can get used to it a bit more. And like I said, it's a different game, making runs, changing runs, being a target man. It's different when you're back to goal. But yeah, I'm enjoying it so far, and as long as it keeps going, I suppose I will enjoy it.
And another man who's chipping in a lot of goals for Longford, 7 goals as well, as Dylan McGlade. He's obviously someone you would have known very well before signing for Longford. What have you made of his improvement this season? Because he looks a totally different player to the one that left Longford last year.
Yeah, well, I've known Dylan since I was a kid, really. We grew up kind of playing the same age, and then I was with him for a year apart, so I know all what Dylan can do. So it doesn't really surprise me in the slightest. I know his ability, I know what he's capable of. And he's great to kind of have out on the wing, because you know, either way, he's going to make something happen. And you just, whether he has a shot himself or puts in a cross, he's going to make things happen. So yeah, I'm not surprised at all, and I'm delighted for him that he's doing well, and hopefully he can keep it up.
And that brings us to our fan questions. We put it up on very short notice on social media. I suppose the only two lads that had time on their hands to do it was Dylan and Carl McGlade. They've sent in a couple of questions for yourself. Dylan McGlade wants to know, when did you actually get some pace and not become the slowest player on the team? And Carl McGlade wants to know, is there any consideration that yourself and the lads might do a carpool karaoke on the bus to one of the away games?
Well, I think we've already done the carpool karaoke on Dylan's old vlogs. I've seen that.
But come on, no one watches them old vlogs. It's all about the podcast.
Well, don't tell him that. Dylan's lagging me over my pace as usual. There's nothing new there, but I've challenged him to a 100-meter race a couple of times, and he's backing down, so maybe you can put his money where his mouth is and give me a race after training one of the days, and we'll see who the fastest is.
Maybe not as good without the ball at his feet, as some people might say.
No, he's not the one for doing long distances, Kieran. he doesn't like them. He only likes the short little distances, but we'll see.
Sam, been superb having you on. Thanks very much for joining us, and keep up the fantastic form at Longford.
Yeah, thanks very much. That's
cheers, Sam.
Speak soon.
Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes, or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
Well, Kieran, we're going to our previews now, and another cup that will be coming home, hopefully full of St. Mel's beer, is our St. Mel's Prediction League. So
at least you can drink out of the St. Mel's Cup, not the World Cup. So
No, exactly.
So England shouldn't really bother when there's no need.
Well, there's no Gazza or anybody to really fill it up with something deaf. But look, I'll be more than happy winning my beer. And I'm 5-1 up, Kieran, and you're running out of weeks.
Yeah, running out of weeks, so I'm going to need a big comeback now, Istanbul type of stuff. But we'll crack on with the first division previews. Longford Town against Cove is the first fixture up.
Okay, well, I'm going for a home win with that one.
Yeah, got to agree with you there. Longford in great home form recently, and Cove, they'll make it difficult for Longford, I have no doubt. Probably look to sit, get them on the break as they did last year, but I think the Longford players know what to expect, having played Cove so many times this season already. Lost in the EA Sports Cup, so maybe a bit of revenge on the cards.
And they've settled into a sort of set team, being forced by injuries and so on, but it seems like a really good lineup now. So yeah, Longford to win that one, Kieran.
Drogheda against Harps, two teams that were relegated from the Premier Division last year.
I just think Drogheda would be too strong for them, Kieran. They're playing well at the moment. You know, they're dragging the coattails of UCD. Yeah, home win for me.
Again, it's another game where you're probably expecting the opposition, the away side, Harps, to make it difficult and sit in. But as you said, I think the firepower there for Drogheda should secure a home win.
Yep.
Galway against Athlone.
Well, can't see anything other than a home win there, I'm afraid, Kieran.
Yeah, interesting to see the new manager effect there, but I think you'd be mad to say anything other than a Galway win.
He couldn't have wished for a nicer start, could he, really?
Right, this is one where I want a score prediction, John, just in case we're deadlocked. Cabinteely at home to Wexford.
Okay, well, I'm going for a home win and 3-1.
I'm going to go home win and I'm going to go 2-0.
Oh, yeah. Right, okay. Not much in that then.
No.
Could well be deadlocked the way these are going.
Could come down to a clean sheet there.
Yeah.
UCD against Shells is probably the standout game in the first division. If Shells can win this, they'll be within 1 point of the league leaders.
And I'm going for Shells win.
UCD have done well against Shells this year, a couple of late goals, but Georgie Kelly's gone now.
Yeah.
That 5-1 hammering, there's got to be heads down now around UCD. I'm going to follow you and go for the Shells win.
Wow, how things change in such a short time.
Incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Moving on to the Premier Division, Pats against Dundalk has a nice look to it.
It sure does. I'm looking forward to speaking to Dermot Keighley about this one. But Pats against Dundalk, where am I going with this one? I am going for an away win.
You're going for an away win and I will follow you. This is the problem. We're just too in sync. But before we bring you any more predictions, folks, we'll break now to bring you that interview with Dermot Keighley. Okay, folks, we are joined on the line now by something of a League of Ireland legend. It's a man that's won it as a player. He's won it as a manager. It's, of course, Dermot Keighley ringing in from sunny Spain. Dermot, welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thank you. Thank you very much for ringing me.
So, Dermot, we'd love to get a bit more information on your new venture. How are things going in Lanzarote at the moment for you?
Well, it's like all new businesses or new teams. It takes a while to gel, but it's going along great. Everybody from the dog comes over, has come in, I think. I'd say probably 100% that guy. So, it's great. It's great life. Nice sunny weather. It's makes you feel young again.
It's probably not as hot over there at the moment as it is back home here. We're sweltering at the moment. So
next week.
Fantastic.
So enjoy it while it's there. It's about the same temperature as it is at home now, but it's been a bad winter at home and everything else, so you're entitled to it. But it's lovely all year round here, so it's great.
And of course, these sunny conditions, they're making for great preparation for our Irish players about to head out and play European games, and your former club, Dundalk, have a tie against Tallinn. Do you fancy them to progress in that?
I do. I think they've made a couple of good signs in the window, or they appear to be making good signs in the window. It's going to increase the squad strength. I think they're also buying for the future. I mean, they're young players. I think Georgie from UCD will be, in a year's time, I think he'll be a sensational League One.
Yeah, he's certainly a player we know.
Back.
He's certainly a player we know plenty about here in Longford. He scored 2 goals earlier in the season against Longford, and he looks to be just everything of a total striker. So I think that's a great investment for Dundalk.
That's an investment for the future, because I tell you, the guys coming from UCD, Benson and elsewhere, they're fit. But they're not at the level that Dundalk are at. So it takes them a full year to get used to the physical aspect of it. So, but when he does, I think he's going to be a real player. I think it's a great sign.
As I said, you're something of a legend in Dundalk, having won the league there as a player and a manager. But what do you make of the complete transformation at the club since your time there?
Well, it's obviously great. I mean, when I was there, even when we won the league, the great team so long ago, it was always very tight. I mean, there was always money issues. In 95, when I won as a manager, it was awful. You didn't know where the next pound was coming from. Now it looks like solid, you know. But I think these people in that are investing obviously have the idea that they're going to make money at the League of Ireland. That to do that, they've got to invest in the squad, which they have, and then hope that they get a break, because you know, after the Tallinn team, you've got a trip maybe to Cyprus, which is probably, you could think that is winnable as well. So you know, it'd be a chance of making big bucks in this. I mean, the big game now is getting into Europe. The league is, the money you get for the league is painful. So it's Champions League, it's Europa League, that's where the big money is.
And you mentioned there the new investment at Dundalk, and it's something we're starting to see now in the League of Ireland at long last. The investment at Dundalk, there's talk of a Saudi group coming into Galway, there's talks of other clubs as well maybe down the line getting new investors in. Is that a huge positive going forward for the League of Ireland?
Absolutely. Well, it has to be managed, but it's a no-brainer. I don't understand why big businesses haven't come in and taken out before, because realistically, you know, it's an awful lot easier to invest in a club in Ireland and win the league or get second than it is to go and invest in Swindon or Rotherham or something like where you have no chance. So I think people notice that there is a chance here, I think that we might be now looking at future investment, which is great for the league, and it's only good for, I hope, the public, for the publicity that the league can generate from this.
Sadly, one thing that hasn't changed from your time in the League of Ireland is the bad financial stories. And this week we're seeing just more and more dark twists at Bray Wanderers. You were never a man shy of an opinion when you were a pundit in this league. What have you made of the situation there recently?
Well, my views are known. We're not run. You'll probably cut me off in the middle of this, but I mean, the FAI don't care about us. They care about the international team. The system of licensing is obviously a disaster because it keeps failing. And every single year, I mean, when you see a club saying that they're prepared to let their players go because they don't know whether they can afford to pay them for the end of the year, that's what licensing is supposed to be about. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid the people who run their league are asleep at the wheel and have been for many, many, many years. There is no... The Americans come over to Dundalk and invest because they see something. You've got the Saudis company took over because they see something. I'm afraid the people that run their league don't see anything.
And obviously going forward, there's talk of the league clubs taking a stronger say in the running of the league and a potential hybrid model, I suppose it's been described that way, in terms of running the league alongside the FAI. Do you think that's the way forward, or should there be a complete breakaway by the clubs?
A hybrid model, yeah. Like, it's like you have a Mercedes in the front and a Mini in the back. No, I think we should break away and run ourselves. Some kind of independent body. I don't think you can let the league run the league, but I think there should be some kind of an independent body within the league that can run it separately from the FAI. I'm no lover of the way that I've said it for years. My doubts, and they're confirmed every single year. Every time this happens, you know, it's like a shock, but it's happened so often. And I don't know the purpose of having licenses. I remember going through licenses with Chabot when they were down and out broke, and you had to jump through hoops to get this league. Then I think then if there's a chance of being an odd number, you know, you just wave through. And unfortunately, you've seen that lot, and you've seen Bray now. It's Limerick as well. It's tragic.
Yeah, I'd have to 110% agree with if we're going to take this league forward, it's the clubs that need to break away but not be running it themselves. I think we had that in the past and it was a bit of a shambles, really. Clubs fighting against clubs.
It can't work because everybody, if you're in a league, you're looking after yourself. That's the nature of the game. Everybody looks after themselves. I mean, with Chelsea, it was Ollie Bourne. I mean, Ollie couldn't look past Shelbourne, and that's right, because those people keep these clubs going.
Yeah.
So you have to have a body that's affiliated to the league, has the trust of the league, but is independent of Dundalk, Shelbourne, whoever it is. That they're an independent body, doing the best for the league, not doing the best for themselves or for the international team or the worst for the league. In my humble opinion, I think that's what has been the case. So look, you can't be afraid. Sometimes you just, like myself, you know, 63 years of age, 64 years of age, coming out here and trying something new. Sometimes you just need it. Yeah. Sometimes you just need to take a break. Just have the balls, just jump into this and we make it work. You know, get away from the past.
Dermot, I think you've summed it up absolutely superbly there. That's where we're going to leave it. We want to thank you very, very much for joining us on the show. It's been a great honour speaking to a man who's done so much in League of Ireland football, and very best wishes with everything you're doing in Lanzarote at the moment.
Thanks, lovely talking to you.
Thanks, Dermot.
Thanks, Dale.
Thank you.
So another game with an interesting ring to it now, John. Waterford against Bohemians at the RSC.
Yeah, should be a good one, that. But, I mean, both were very lucky to get the 3 points there last weekend. So I'm going to go for a Waterford win.
Yeah, Waterford obviously 3 goals against Sligo. They would be disappointed with their defensive performance. But, again, comes down to firepower. Both struggling for goals this season. Waterford have been absolutely immense at home. Got to be a Waterford win for me.
Yep.
Derry against Limerick.
I can't see anything other than a home win. I know we've talked about Derry's defence, but they are very good at home still, and I don't think Limerick can go up there and get anything.
No, the home record has dropped off a little bit recently, but again, Derry, when they play at home, we've criticised them for being too open. But when you're at home, I suppose that's probably the way to go. And against Limerick, who are a little bit of uncertainty over what players are going to be available and not available at the moment, you've got to fancy Derry. But if they don't win that one, there's going to probably be a little bit of pressure on Kenny Shields.
And remember, Brendan Clark's been keeping Limerick in a lot of these games. Yeah, good point. Without him, there's still question marks about whether Jack Brady's deal's across the line. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Derry.
Cork against Shamrock Rovers at the Turner's Cross.
Yeah, well, this should be an absolute cracker, shouldn't it? Rovers very much improved here in the last few weeks. They seem to be...
They improved, or are they just weathering a storm, just getting through that little patch they had, and now they're just levelling out again? Are we going to see another plunge in the next few weeks?
I'm not so sure, but I mean, this is a tough one going.
They've struggled in the big games.
Yeah, well, I've got them down to struggle here. I think Cork will beat them, just purely because Cork will be desperate to keep on track with Dundalk, who've got an easy game on paper. But yeah, Cork for me to win this one.
Flip side to that, Cork coming down off that defeat to Dundalk. Dundalk have got him in a couple of signings. There's a good feeling around the place there. Whereas, as I said, Cork coming in off a defeat and maybe taking the eye off it slightly for
Europe. Negative sounds from Caulfield. You know, he's not playing on the positives. It's like, we haven't got that money to spend. Mm. We can't compete. Yeah, I know what you mean, but I think they'll have too much for Rovers, don't you?
Yeah, it's a hard one to call. Cork played Portsmouth in a friendly, and Damien Delaney made his debut, so you'd imagine he'll be available for this one.
Yeah.
Rovers, we all know, have lost Graham Burke, but Daniel Carr seems to have stepped up his performances, and he's a player we've asked a lot more from. I think this is going to be a tight game, but I'm going to go with a 2-1 for Cork City.
Oh, yeah. Padgett won't be happy with that one.
So you're going Cork as well in that one, yeah?
I am going to go Cork, yeah.
And we're going to bring you our interview now with that man, Pat Flynn, also known as Padgett. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're joined on the line by the self-professed superstar. He's making me stutter. I'm that nervous having him on the show. It's Padgett Flynn. Pat, welcome back.
How's things, Kieran? You keeping well?
Keeping well. Yourself, Padgett?
Not bad, not bad. Great to be back in the show.
Good stuff. And John here is very excited to speak to you after last night's result in the World Cup.
I'm sure he is. Great.
So, Pat, look, we're going to go back. We're going to cover a number of topics tonight with yourself. But we'll go back. I was just doing a bit of research on yourself. Very in-depth stuff. Wikipedia. Torquay United, very exotic club for a man like yourself. How did you find things out?
Lovely part of the world.
Yeah, how did you find things out there?
My last game for Wolves as a youth, I scored a goal, and it's probably the only goal I scored for Wolves, and we got called into the office the next day. I was ringing my dad, and I was there, I think I'm going to be offered a new contract, and I went in and they released me. So he said, we might have a club lined up for you, so Torquay wanted me. So I went down there. It was 4 hours right down the bottom of England, and I have to say, there's some change, I think, in the difference between people from the Midlands and the north of England to the south, because the lads weren't very welcome. The club was nice now. It was a nice club. We were struggling now. We were in a relegation battle straight away, but I didn't enjoy my time there at all. It was more to do with the lads. They weren't very welcome. I was the only Irish lad there. Usually there'd be a couple of Irish to help you feel welcome, but there was nothing. They'd have it the odd night out. They wouldn't even knock in to ask, would you like to go? So maybe they know it was a bit of a head case on it.
It's them Yorkshire ones you want to look out for, is what I hear.
Oh, we're very, very welcoming.
Stay away from them.
But you obviously made a great career for yourself afterwards, Pat, in the League of Ireland. And out of the 8 clubs you played for, the most appearances you made was actually with Longford Town, strangely, 58 appearances for Longford. But is there a regret maybe that you didn't spend longer time at one club in particular or make more appearances? You only made the 200 career appearances over 13 years. Did injuries play a big part in that?
Injuries would have. I was out for the guts of a season with Longford after I had a hip surgery. Rovers, my last year, I would have liked to play more. Now we're in Europe and we signed really good players, so I didn't really have a complaint. And when I got in the squad at Rovers, I got sent off a lot of times, and sometimes it's getting sent off and they weren't red cards for once. So Michael O'Neill felt he couldn't really play me. It was too much a risk. So just before the Europa League, I asked, could I leave? Because I had no holidays left and work. That was purely it. Now, that's a regret that I left. I would have rather sit in the stand and actually watch a couple of games. But the other regret is, now I played a lot for them. Shells, it was one season, but we got relegated there. And it was a big regret of mine because, now I gave it my all, but I just felt we'd the team to stay up. It's the same probably as at Longford. I thought we had enough to stay up, just we started bad, and results, defeats are contagious. You could be winning 1-0, and in the back of your head you're thinking, we're going to lose this game, and it's contagious. It's the same as winning. Pats was my other club down. I felt although I got on with Liam, we didn't get a fair chance. We waited my chance till Conor Kenner or Gerald Bryan got injured or suspended or come in, did well. And then as soon as they were back, they'd be straight back in the team. So I felt I didn't get a fair chance of it there. I would have liked to play more games. But overall, Rovers and Longford was where I was happiest at because of I played more games at those clubs.
Yeah, it was an awful shame that last season with Longford, because I think it was yourself and Don Cowan. Every week we'd see you walking into the stands. I was thinking, these two lads, we could desperately do with them on the pitch, you know.
Yeah, because and the season before, it had a really good season. In fairness to Tony, I know you don't really like him, Borky, but he was confident enough to put me in centre-back. I wouldn't be the tallest, but I'd read it well. I had a really good season. He signed me nearly half-injured, like, and I was coming back, but when I came back, I was half the player. I couldn't turn, and people spotted it. They're clever in the Premier Division, so they turned me more times than not. When they started turning me more than Mark Rossiter, I knew it was time to knock it on the head.
Listen, one fact that we dug up here, which we got a real surprise with, you got an Olympic gold.
Yeah, dealing with a superstar here, yeah.
Not bobsleigh, I take it.
Say that again?
Not the bobsleigh, I take it.
No. We played it in football. We went away at Brian Kerr's team. I think it was under 16s. We were a year younger as well, I think. So we went over to Murcia in Spain. And we had a good team. Now, with Willow Flood, Mark Yates, who are still over in England and Scotland. Well, Willow's after moving to the Middle East or somewhere now. But we played Spain, bet them in the final. It was a really good tournament. It was hard to play now for Irish lads. There was 22 red-haired, freckly lads going out playing against the Spanish, and the Spanish were complaining about the sun. But Brian Kerr was there. He had us G'd up for the match and all, so really good. The first two games we played now were quite handy enough, but when we got to the final, the Spain was the tough one, and we won it in extra time, thank God.
Did Brian Kerr tell you to get up over that?
You told me a few times. There was one game you caught me Stephen for the whole match. I don't think he even knew my name was Patrick.
Brilliant. Going back to home matters, looking at Rovers and the European draws, paired them with AIK from Sweden. Have they any chance in that one?
It's a hard one. You'd probably say Dundalk, out of all the teams, got the best draw out of them all.
Yeah, they were seeded, weren't they, Pat? So.
Yeah. The Rovers won out. The good thing, I think they have them at home, so if you keep the tie alive going into the away game, it might give you something to cling on to or push on if you get a 1-0 in Tala and then bring it over there to Sweden. But I don't know of many Irish teams. I don't think any Irish teams have played against the Swedish teams, that Swedish team before, so you wouldn't know the history of them. They'd be missing a couple of players because of the World Cup, obviously. But they have a chance. The Swedish team are Summer League as well, so that might affect it a bit. Sometimes when we played in Europe, we caught teams on the hop of it because we were in season and they were only getting back, so it was to an advantage. But the Swedish team, I think, have the same season as the League of Ireland, if I'm not mistaken.
I think AIK will be out, but they'll obviously be without Seb Larsson, who's at the World Cup with Sweden, so that's a small boost to Rovers as well.
Yeah, that'd be a big boost. But even Rovers themselves, I don't get to many games because we train Friday nights with the 17s, but I've been to the last three games because we've been on the break, and defensively they look a lot stronger now. They have been playing good football a lot of the time, regardless of what you hear in the press now, but it's they haven't been scoring or being consistent in getting results. Some were down to mistakes and some were down to bad luck, but I think defensively they're looking strong, which is a big thing in Europe. They look like a good unit now.
We are the press, Padgett. Whatever we say here goes on between the stripes. But one player I'd love to ask you about, since you're working with young players yourself, Gavin Bazunu, the Shamrock Rovers goalkeeper, just 16, been linked with a host of English clubs now after a string of impressive performances in the first team. Have you got to see much of him, and what do you make of as a young goalkeeper?
Yeah, Gavin was with us all last season with the 17s, and was with us again this season and got called up. He's really good. He's a good lad. He has all the natural attributes. I think he played outfield probably up till he was maybe 10 or 11, if I'm not mistaken. So he's good feet for a goalkeeper. He's good height, good hands. He's commanding. And more than that, he's a good lad. So he's willing to learn. And I don't think he'd be afraid to shout at the first team if they needed it. But Oh, look at Rovers keeper situation now as well. Like, they've Alan Manister, who he can learn a lot from. They've Tomer as well. Keane Clark is there. He's probably a year above Gavin, but he got unlucky because he was injured as well. So it could have been him playing first team. But there's a whole host of keepers, and they're all learning off each other up there. So it's a good thing at the moment. And they've Horgan as well, who, boy, he was impressive because he made a couple of mistakes. And if a forward makes those mistakes, you get away with it, but he made it. But what I liked about him is he came back stronger, and I think he kept a couple of clean sheets straight after that. So it was a nice thing to see. And I actually didn't realise he was so young until I was reading about it after. But he's another one for the future as well.
Yeah, Horgan's certainly one we highlighted after his mistakes early in the season. He did bounce back extremely well, so that was positive to see. And it's great to see young players getting the chance at Shamrock Rovers. But I suppose the big question is that the right philosophy going forward if Shamrock Rovers want to match the exploits of Dundalk and Cork City?
I think you need a mixture of it still. Now, the young lads will get experience. Stephen said it is a building thing. Now, fans probably only have so much patience for that, but they've been good with them so far. I think they see something is happening, not just in the youth, because there's only so long you can keep saying the 17s had a great result, the 19s, it's all about first team. And I think personally they're getting there. I think they can push on again this season, push to get toward, I think maybe first and second is out of their hands now. But next season will be a big year, so I think the players they have now will have that extra bit of experience, and maybe if they bring in one or two, they could really push on.
Pat, it's been fantastic having you on. Thanks very much. I know you're eager to go home and watch the England highlights from last night. So we'll
Love Island, isn't it?
Love Island as well. I'm sure he's a big fan of that. Yeah.
It's fair city tonight, thank God.
You've missed the Angelus though, unfortunately, so sorry about that one.
No problem, lads. Go on, peace.
Pat Joe, thanks very much. God bless.
See you later. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
So great fun, as always, with Pat Flynn. You wouldn't expect any less from that madman. But let's round it up with the final prediction from the Premier Division, John. It's Crisis Club Bray against a team in relegation trouble, Sligo.
Yeah, well, I just think Sligo might have a little bit too much of Bray. Don't know how fit Mikey Drennan will be, but that's a good sign. And they've also got this new winger from... the Canadian winger there from Millwall, Twardek. I'd expect that team to be freshened up a little bit. And you know what the rule is on the show? Never back on Bray.
Yeah, let me down last week. So I don't know why. I just have a strange feeling Bray could just throw a spanner in the works for some reason. But I'm going to stick with that rule. Never back Bray. And considering that they mightn't train this week at all, it's very hard to see how they can go out in the right sort of mind to go and take on Sligo in such a big game. And you just wonder what type of atmosphere is going to be around the ground. It could be quite toxic. So I'm going to go with a Sligo win. I want a score prediction on this one. I'm going to say 2-0 to Sligo.
It's even more chaotic. You see Gary McCabe got pulled after 26 minutes, I think it was, wasn't it?
I don't know,
Kieran. It's just all going wrong there. But look, what scoreline did you go for?
2-0.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Sligo 2-1. Just to go slightly different.
That's the one I was going to go with. So lucky enough, now, because we're pretty level the whole way through there. I think the only difference is the scoreline. So... let's hope I can pull it back to 5-2. But folks, that has been... We're forgetting an interview.
We are indeed. And how can we forget that? Sligo's new signing, Mikey Drennan.
Mikey Drennan joined us on the show, folks. Enjoy this interview. Mikey, welcome to the show.
How are you? Thanks for having me.
So, Mikey, you've been a busy man lately doing all sorts of interviews after your long-awaited return to the League of Ireland. I know from listening to comments you met in the past, you always said that you would pick the right club at the right time to come back to the League of Ireland. I suppose the big question people want to know is, why have you selected Sligo Rovers as your new club?
Well, I suppose it kind of just all happened from my own head. I think I wanted to get back into the game because I knew I was 100% that I wanted to go back and give that 100% that I thought that I wouldn't have been able to maybe 6 months ago, a year or 18 months. So I think when Sligo Rovers came, they wanted me to go up, just play a game, just kind of have a look around at the stadium and all that stuff, and I could click straight away. The manager's been great to me. Sligo's a lovely town. It's not a GAA town, it's a proper football town. So I think I'm just delighted to be here now, and I just literally can't wait to get started.
And speaking of GAA, you were playing a bit of it yourself when you were away. Was it a hard decision to make to focus in on League of Ireland again?
No, not really. No, I think it was. I think when I knew in my head that I was right and I was ready to give 100% to myself and to whatever club I came to and whatever manager and players, I think it was a kind of an easy decision. Look, it was great being back for the 2 years and getting my head right and getting kind of being happy again, getting back and enjoying sport. If, like, that was with James Stevens or if it was with Evergreen, like, and probably couldn't thank them more, like, for kind of the welcome that I got with them and helped me back to enjoy football and enjoy life, really.
And when can we expect to see you ready and fit for action with Sligo?
Well, I'm hoping on Sunday against Bray. I've had a good week training last week and I've started off well this week as well. It's just all about getting that proper fitness and proper sharpness. I feel fit to last 90 minutes and all that. It's just getting that proper sharpness that I need. That'll take me that little bit extra. That'll kind of take me that bit better that I need to better myself than better than what I ever was.
I suppose, Mike, you couldn't have really wished for a better start back in well in Sligo colours, playing a Bray team that are really under pressure and there's a bit of chaos at the club. So you'd be hoping to open your Sligo account with maybe a goal or two.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to hope. That's what I've came here for. Not just coming back here just to kick around and kind of just to get back in the league round and come back here to score goals. And I want to win trophies. That's literally what I want to. They're the two things I want, is score goals and win trophies for Sligo Rovers. And yeah, I know we're playing Bray, obviously with the trouble that we're going through now at the minute, but you have the players that will probably come out on Sunday, and if they do want to move, they could put on a show and literally kind of surprise anyone. And we're going to have to be on our best performance to beat them.
Yeah, I suppose that's the thing. It can always go against it. You're quite right. Players might be saying, right, this is it now. I have the opportunity to put myself in the shop window. Let me give a great performance here against Sligo and get a move, you see. So you're quite right with that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's hard to know, but look, we'll be going there for 3 points and we need to start moving up that table because the club like Sligo, they're too good to be down there, and especially with the players that they've had, like, a kind of surprised position that they are in, like, I know a few games have kind of gone against them with kind of stupid mistakes and stuff like that, but look, we're just looking at, onwards and upwards.
Yeah, look, Sligo are only 2 points clear of Limerick, so you know, they are in a bit of a relegation dogfight. I know there's pressures on salaries and things at Limerick as well, but you know, I suppose Sligo's problems this season have been actually getting goals, you know, goal scoring, the lack of a recognised goal scorer. So, you know, hopefully that's one where you'll be able to make a difference.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to come in for. That's what the gaffer wanted me to come in and score goals. Like, and obviously he wanted to kind of just have a look at me and make sure that I still wanted it in my head. And for him signing me and putting that faith in me, I couldn't kind of thank him more. And I'm going to show that on the pitch and show him that I'll get all the goals to stay up and move up the table and push on for next year.
And Mikey, you've mentioned there the fact you want to win trophies now with Sligo Rovers, and the FAI Cup draw took place today, and ironically you're on a Longford show here and you've been pitted against Longford Town. Of course, Longford got the win over Sligo last year, so maybe some revenge in the mind of the Sligo camp.
Yeah, definitely. We were saying that today. Said, look, they knocked them out last year, and they're going to look for revenge, and we're going to need to put in a good performance to beat them. And obviously, look, Sligo have had good kind of they've won it twice in the last year, and in the last few years, 2011 and 13, I think, when the last time that they won it, so they do have a good record, and I'm looking to push on. And look, if you can win that, then you get into the Orb, and then the whole club kind of changes again, and pushing on for going on for the league then next year, and the FAI again. And look, I know it's kind of the next season, but that's what I'm going to be pushed for just this season, and then look forward to the next season.
Yeah, it's great to hear you speaking so positively, Mikey, I have to say, and considering Sligo aren't having the best season so far, it's good to hear optimism from within the camp. So, final question, what is the long-term plan going forward for Mikey Drennan now?
I think it's just to keep enjoying my football. I think that's probably the main thing, is to keep enjoying it, not to get back into kind of the slump that I was in, just to literally get back, enjoy it, score goals, but everything else will kind of happen then, like, work hard, keep your head down, all that stuff. Is just kind of I don't have a plan, like, say what's going to happen the next year or 2 years, whatever happens will happen, and I'm going to, if I score goals, then that'll look after itself.
Well, I think there'll certainly be plenty of people rooting for you to score plenty of goals as you go forward in the coming years with Sligo, of course, again, not against Longford in the FAI Cup. But Mikey, thanks very much for joining us on the show and best wishes for the rest of the season.
No problem. Thanks very much.
Cheers, Mikey.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So folks, a show that was 1 year in the making, I certainly think it's done us justice here on Between the Stripes LOI podcast, 1 year anniversary tonight. Huge thanks to our six guests, absolutely fantastic insight from each and every one of them. A huge, huge thank you to each and every one of you that continue to tune in every week here to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, especially those of you that have stuck with us from day one. But the only way that we can continue to improve and continue to grow is if people spread the word. So when this episode goes up tonight on our Facebook and our Twitter accounts, we'd really appreciate if as many people as possible could share it. And let's have a look and see, can we get our biggest listenership of the season? Of course, those that you that listen to us on iTunes, we'd love a subscription. We'd love a 5-star review as well if you feel we're worthy of it. It's been an absolute pleasure bringing you this show over the last year, and hopefully it's just the start of something special here. It's been a great success and we're really enjoying the feedback we're getting. As I said earlier in the show, if you want to leave us some feedback, go to Twitter and use the hashtag Between the Stripes and we'll pick up on that there. Until next week, that's it. I just want to thank our sponsors before we go. Of course, Flomax.ie, the main title sponsors here at Between the Stripes. We simply could not bring you this production every week without them. It's probably surprising to a lot of people, but a lot of time, money and effort goes into this. So we really do appreciate the support of Flomax. Diageo.ie, the creators of our website, BetweenTheStripes.ie. Make sure you check that out. And of course, to St. Mel's, who are sponsoring the St. Mel's Brewery Prediction Game. And to Lockery's Pharmacy here in Drumlish, who let us record the show here every week. Thanks for listening, folks. Happy anniversary to ourselves. My co-host John has ran off for a kebab. Nothing new there. We'll speak to you again next week. Thanks for joining us.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audioboom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.